So I think this would be a perfect time to explain, and I've never had a complete grasp of the different generations, but if you could break down the generations for us by sure. sort of the years and what defines them, that would be awesome.
Excellent. So I'm going to start with our traditionalists, and they were born 1927 to 1945. Then our baby boomers, 1946 to 64. Gen Xers come in at 64 to 77. Our millennials, who were called Gen Y as a placeholder name when they first entered, 78 to 99. Then Gen Z, 2000 to 2012. And Gen Alpha is 2013 all the way to 2020. Now, why I start with our traditionalists in the workforce is we still have a few traditionalists out there. A lot of them are in super high roles or they're in super entry level roles because they left and they came back in. But the key piece about our traditionalists is they laid down the foundation that is still embedded many times inside an organization. Think post-World War II, their training in leadership came right out of the military. And so inside a company, we'll see officers of the company. You know, that's a military co-opted, you know, phrase, right? Deadlines, all these things. And the perspective on loyalty still has a traditionalist element to it because our traditionalists got on with the company and their workplace code was about being a worker. You work hard for 30 years, you're loyal to the company and the company's loyal to you. Hmm. Our baby boomers came in and they didn't want to just be workers. They saw themselves as employees, as a generational workplace code. You got on with the company, you figured out what the politics was because you had 80 million people that wanted your job, right? And so they became that first generation of workaholics that wore it on their sleeve like a badge of honor. 80 hours they would compete and who could bleed more company colors and be more loyal. So when you ask a baby boomer, what do? They don't even know it, but they leak their generational code by saying, I work for, and they say the name of the company. And that's that employee mentality. Then along came our Gen Xers, and they were the ignored children of the baby boomers. Oftentimes we've heard, you know, the first generation of latchkey kids who let right. themselves in after work on their own. They spent, or after school, they weren't quite working yet. And they spent more time alone than any other generation. This is really important because Gen Xers are top of line leaders right now. But because they spent so much time alone in that self-managing kind of environment where they kind of say, I was raised by wolves, right? Like, I don't feel like anybody was really out there taking care of me.
Yeah.
Our Gen Xers now are very much struggling with the level of care and feeding and attention that millennials and Gen Z want because Gen Xers' philosophy is just tell me what you want, buy when you want it, then leave me alone. Right? Don't micromanage me. Don't hover because they spent so much time alone.
Yeah,
as
they were the kids that mom or dad put a note on the counter and said, you know, food is in the fridge. I want you to do this. Please take the garbage out. And they were on their own, right?
That's right. In fact, you know, in your first interview, Dan talked about that. Like his mom, they got divorced and, you know, if they wanted something extra, like she provided the basics and was great. But if they wanted anything extra, like had to go out and do it on their own and get their, you know, I think he said he had a newspaper route and he had early jobs. That's that generation. Now, they became incredibly self-reliant. And they also became incredibly good parents because everything they didn't have, they made sure their Gen Z kids had and that they protected them. And that whole reality that they didn't have as a protected child, they made sure there would be no bullying of my kid. Hmm. And this is going to impact the workplace because now as Gen Z is in the workplace, they are like, listen, the way you just spoke to me is very bullying. And guess what? I will cancel you like you can't believe how quickly I can because, you know, they understand agency because their Gen Xer parents made sure they did. So our Gen Xers see themselves in the workplace as not employees, but free agents. Hmm. If you ask a Gen Xer, what do? They say, I work in, and they'll give you the industry because in the middle of the 80s recession, their parents who'd like bled company colors came home one night with a little slip of paper from their work. Do you remember what color that was, Mark?
Yeah, pink slip. Yeah.
It was a pink slip. And all of a sudden, that two-way street was broken. No longer does the company look out for you. So Gen Xers are like, you know, I'm a free agent. I'm going to sign a contract. I'm going to work it. But I know if something cataclysmic happens, I need to be ready. And then our millennials come in and they're not just workers or employees or free agent. Our millennials are talent. because they were raised saying, do what you want and the money will follow. And they were asked what their passions and their dreams were. And so when you speak to a millennial, they're not just having a destination career where they go to one place and stay. They're building a portfolio of experiences and they're cultivating the aspects of their talent that they can use in many different ways. And it's an extraordinary thing because there's all this cross-pollination between companies when millennials are moving around and taking things with them. And so this means that a company has to say, how are we earning their time? It's no longer about loyalty to the institution. That went away with baby boomers. But now it's about how do we earn your time to stay here? So they see themselves as talent. You ask them what they do and they tell you about their gifts and their passions and their dreams. And then comes Gen Z and they're not just talent, they're influencers. They absolutely know the power of their voice and the power of their ability to change the conversation, which circles us back to canceling, right? If you treat them badly, they will say something and they will quickly share it with their community and, you know, the fire is on. So each one of these things not only impact the workplace, but it impacts how we see them in the world too.
Yeah. So you said that with each of these generations during their formative years, something happened to really shape. And when we look at the millennials, you know, they were in the 2008 recession and they saw the devastation that happened and the insecurity. So that's, I'm guessing, a good example of how an event can shape a generation.
That's right. And for our millennials, 9/11, right? That's the first major, all of a sudden, the world was not safe, right? Yes, the recession impacted them. But interestingly enough, millennials were also in a position during the recession to be in college, to be in school, a lot of them. And some of them doubled down and they got a master's and they educated themselves right into a huge debt. And that is actually the bigger thing, because that huge debt that came out of all that, their boomers didn't have a chance, their boomer parents didn't have a chance to get the level of education that they wanted collectively as a generation. It is our first generation of MBAs. Don't get me wrong. So they made sure their kids got that free to be childhood, right? That adolescence where they got to explore and go to school, but they came out with very large debt. And what that's really impacting about millennials is that they are struggling to buy the home that their parents bought for much less money. They're struggling if, you know, they came out with a law degree, they're in debt to, you know, the six figure by multiples, right? So this is a big piece too. And yes, the recession, as they came out of it and tried to find their first job, was incredibly disappointing to them. But it's really the Gen Xers that got the bite on the bum for that and shared it with their Gen Z kids, which is why you see so many Gen Z kids right now choosing to go into trades or choosing to go into a different approach than a four-year liberal arts education, because they're looking at their millennial siblings and saying, ooh, I don't want that debt.
So it's funny.